Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so try to do the math here, whether you want to use Common Core or regular math. That's up to you, entirely up to you. Just try to do the math. Okay, so you live an average of, what, 78, 80 years of life here on Earth. And you're a garden variety sinner. You reject the gospel. And so you go to hell, which is described as unquenchable fire, shame and everlasting contempt. Fire is not quenched, a place of torment and fire, everlasting destruction, a place where the smoke of torment rises forever and ever, a lake of burning sulfur where the wicked are tormented day and night forever and ever. Does that sound fair? Does that sound equitable? That's a typical question that you run into when you start talking about hell. And then you've got a bunch of questions that I think are kind of fun to explore and I think normal to ask, all about heaven. So today on Theology Thursday with our good friend Dr. Danny Aiken, who happens to be the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, we're going to spend the hour on heaven and hell. And also, if you have any questions, now, usually we'll do Ask the President Day, and I'll just open it up to any old question you want to ask about the Bible or theology, what have you. But today, just stick to heaven or hell. Take your side to up or down if you want to ask. Can't ask two questions. You can only ask one. So you got to pick. Either up, ask a question about heaven, or down, you can ask a question about hell. But that's where we're going to stay. That's where we're going to play for the whole hour. 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-34-TRUTH, the truth of heaven or the truth of hell. Take your pick with your questions today with Dr. Danny Aiken. How are you, sir? Welcome back.
I'm doing very well. We're about at the end of a wonderful semester. We have already way past our record enrollment of last year. We are going to go over 4,600 students this year in our college and seminary. God has just been unbelievably gracious and kind to us in terms of our enrollment, in terms of, again, the spirit on the campus, in terms of sending out missionaries both across North America and around the world. I'd say this, if you want to hear two unbelievably superb sermons, go online and listen to the Sermon Tuesday by preaching professor Scott Pace, and then go online and listen to the sermon today by preaching professor Roger Locke. Steve, masterful examples of good, faithful, biblical exposition delivered in an engaging and compelling way. And as I said after chapel, I am so proud to have two young men like this now occupying positions of preaching here at Southeastern. Add into that Jim Shaddix and Dwayne Melione and a number of others. And I just don't know why anybody who wants to study preaching and develop their skills as a preacher would study anywhere else, because we are just blessed with the just the finest instructors and preachers out there that you could possibly want. So again, it's a great semester. We have graduation coming up, not tomorrow, but 2 weeks from Friday, and then we'll be busy into a summer term of classes. I'll be teaching two doctoral seminars in the May, June
time period. I thought you took vacation in the summer. You don't do anything.
Well, I try to take as much of July off as I can, although even that I allow sometimes to get squeezed, much to the dismay of my sweet wife, who reminds me of my promise to keep July open.
Yes.
But it's okay. I enjoy the short-term classes, and I really enjoy having the guys come in. They're doing doctoral work, so it'll be okay.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we've only been doing Theology Thursdays. It might be 5 years by the end of this year. But before, it was talking about, you know, hey, we're approaching 3,000, and you don't go many years in the future, and now we're over 4,600. It's just been awesome.
God's been very kind.
And just kind of overflowing, very much in Ephesians 3:20 kind of situation here. It's really cool to watch. All right, so talking about heaven and hell today, and I think these are legitimate questions, aren't they? It's okay that we talk about this and ask these type of questions as Christians.
Well, they're in the Bible, so I don't know how you can avoid them. And though we live in a day when people don't want to talk about them, especially hell, folks aren't too hesitant to want to talk about heaven. After all, most Americans are convinced everybody's going there.
Right.
Hell's kind of like this this motel that has out front not a no-vacancy side, but full vacancy because there's nobody there. And yet that's not what the Bible teaches at all. And so for us to be faithful to God's revelation— for us to be faithful to the gospel, for us to rightly understand, Steve, why Jesus came. Why did he come into this world to die such a cruel death on the cross? If hell is not a reality, then maybe what some liberal theologians think is true. God actually is a child abuser and some type of a sadistic Satanist. And but if hell is real, that in part explains very cogently and adds a lot of understanding as to why our Savior would love us enough to come to this world and die for our sins and bear God's wrath and bear the reality of hell in our place on the cross.
Yeah, great point. And we're taking your questions today. If you have questions about heaven and hell, we'll take your calls, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Any question you'd like to ask about heaven or hell, today is the day that you should do that here on the air with Dr. Danny Akin. 866-34-TRUTH is the number, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's jump to a caller right here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. Thanks for calling in today. What's your question for Dr. Akin? Are you there?
Hey, is it all right? Sorry, I missed the beginning part.
You're good. Okay, you're on. What's your question? Go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is about, you know, the justification. You started with a math, you know, instead of a introduction, right? So let's say, suppose a person is doing everything wrong in the average life of 80 years, and then he dies, goes to hell for eternity. That's, you know, infinite, right? Bigger than 80. So how is that justified, right? So he does, you know, bad things for 80 years.
Right, right.
But then the 80 years is not equivalent to eternity in hell.
Right, got it. That's a great...
Yeah.
Yep, I'm with you. That's a great question, and I think it's a common one. Thanks. I'm going to let Danny Akin answer that, but that's a common question. Thanks so much for calling in with that. If you have a question as well, 866-34-TRUTH, the punishment doesn't seem to fit the crime. 80 years, garden variety sin, not Adolf Hitler, and forever and ever eternal torment.
I think people fail to understand the magnitude of a single sin against an infinitely holy, righteous and just God. I've heard J.D. Greer use this illustration. If I were to go out and slap a dog, you would think that to be very inappropriate, and I might even be judged for it. If I slap a child, it gets worse. If I slap an adult that maybe is a president, it gets worse. But if I were to slap an infinite, majestic king, that would warrant the most grave of punishment, and that's what we're doing with our sin. We're slapping the face of a holy, righteous, majestic, eternal God.
Yeah, you can talk about the offense on one hand, but you need to talk about the one that was offended on
exactly.
the other. That's what changes the whole thing. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. Theology Thursdays with our good friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, SEBTS.edu. Throw a /radio in there, and you will land on a page specifically designed for you that's going to show you all the different things. Whether you live here in the Triangle area or North Carolina at all, doesn't matter, because there's so much of the incredible content and teaching opportunities that you can get to at Southeastern. You get to them online. And so all of those options are there. Yes, you can pay and take online classes and work towards a degree, or there's things that you can take just for free, like Dr. Akin's hermeneutics class, yes. which really teaches you how to study the Bible properly. Yes, it can be done, and that's an awesome video series that you can do at your own pace. And Dr. David Jones, one of my ethics professors, was just in here recently. He's got one of his courses is on there, and that's a free one as well. So make sure you go check that out, as well as don't forget the college at Southeastern, an outstanding and growing undergraduate program right here on campus. It's a beautiful campus. It's really a nice place to come to every day when I'm in town doing the show. It's been a blessing for all these years, and really appreciate everybody at the school, and especially you, Danny. Thanks for being here as always.
Well, it's my honor, and I appreciate so much what you're doing.
Absolutely. So we're all in the same game, or all on different parts of the same wall, and it's always a pleasure. So we were talking about, and this is a classic question that the gentleman that called in, 80 years of garden variety sin. It's not like I'm Adolf Hitler. And then an eternity of torment. I mean, nothing pretty. This isn't, you're not sitting in county lockup. This is hell is much worse than that. And we sit there and talk about, and I think rightly so, we wonder the scales of justice there.
Right.
It seems off. I was telling you something off the air on the commercial break, and welcome back to our Facebook Live friends. Sorry, we just had some technical issues there, which came straight out of the pit of hell, by the way. And and I thought about this years ago, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then just put it into the context of my marriage. Okay, mm-hmm. So this was about a year ago. Married 26 years. I thought, on average, if I sinned against Gina, my wife, five times a day, 26 years, the number is about 45,000. 45,000 mm-hmm. sins. And I'm probably being on the low end of that. So on my wedding day, I show up to the altar before she says I do, and I present her with a book in which contains every single sin that I'll commit against her. Here, honey, here's every sin I'm going to commit against you for the next 26 years. They're all laid out. This is a guarantee I'm going to do this. It's just the first half of, God willing, our marriage. Will you still marry me? And what person, I mean, if you presented that to your bride, if I present it to mine, or the reverse, who's going to sign up for that?
Nobody.
I don't think anybody. If you actually know, you see it all there, you know it's going to happen. Yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that gave me an understanding, and I think I'm being way low,
mm-hmm.
Of just the grievous nature of my sin and the glory of God's mercy and his grace and the power of the gospel and the power of the blood of the Lamb. And I think that while we think strictly in terms of the offense, we don't think so much about who's being offended. And
no.
When you talk about an ultimate, holy, eternal, righteous, perfectly holy, perfectly just God, we just can't comprehend it, really.
No. When people reject the doctrine of hell, or they try to mitigate the eternality of it, what they're doing is a couple of things. One, Steve, they're lowering God. They're taking God down from what the Bible says about him in terms of his majesty, his holiness, his righteousness, and they are lessening, first of all, their doctrine of God.
Yeah.
Secondly, they're lessening the magnitude of their sin, and they're saying, sin's not really all that bad. You're making a bigger deal out of it than you should.
Right.
And my response is, no, we will make as big a deal out of sin as the Bible does. But then thirdly, you are lessening the value of the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that rejects the doctrine of hell or tries to turn it into something that it's not, that doesn't also lessen the full understanding of what Christ accomplished on the cross as our penal substitute, dying in our place, paying in full the penalty of our sin as he bore in his body the full judgment and wrath of God on our behalf. If you want to know what God thinks about hell, look to the cross and look at what his son suffered there. Not so much physically, though that was enormous, but spiritually. As he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he bore again the full judgment of God, God takes sin very, very seriously. So for us not to is, again, to diminish his majesty, to diminish the work of Christ, to diminish the severity of sin. And bottom line, Steve, it is to deny the truthfulness of the Bible. Hell is not something that medieval theologians came up with. Hell is something that they got, that we get from the Bible.
Yeah.
And so if you believe the Bible to be the very word of God, then you have to affirm both the wonderful doctrine of heaven and also the tragic but real doctrine of hell as well.
So here's a question I've run into a lot is why did God create hell in the first place? And then how could a good, loving God create such a horrible place? So how do we deal with that?
Well, it's interesting that in Matthew chapter 25, I believe it's verse 46, I'll make sure, the Bible says that God actually created hell for the devil and his angels. So initially, hell was created for these spiritual beings that rebelled against our God.
Yeah.
All right? But, in fact, it says, verse 41, then he will say, that is God, to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So initially, hell was created for Satan and demons. But because we follow in the path of Satan and demons, when we sin against God in his majesty and his holiness and his righteousness, we then, in essence, invite onto ourselves the same judgment that he vents against evil spirits.
What about like Dante's Inferno and different levels of hell? And I'll ask this question when we get to heaven as well. By the way, if you guys have any questions about heaven and hell for Dr. Aiken today, please give us a call, 866-348 7884. That's always the number, 866-34-TRUTH. Any questions you have about heaven or hell? But I'll ask the question when we get to heaven about, is it a different experience for people based on rewards or what have you? But is hell like that? Because Dante's Inferno, that was back like in the 1300s. Really, really popular. A lot of people buy into that. It seems to make some sense. But is it biblical?
Well, the Bible does say that revelation brings responsibility. The more you know, the greater is your accountability before God. So, for example, in Matthew, again, chapter, and these are the words of Jesus. Jesus is talking about the sins of the contemporary generation that has rejected him and his message. And he goes back and he compares what they have done to the sins of all things, Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah. For our listening audience, it's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. This is Jesus speaking. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, and here's the key statement, It will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And then he goes on to talk about Capernaum and comparing it to Sodom as well. So a basic theological principle that applies both to heaven and hell. Revelation, God's revealing of himself, brings responsibility. The more you know, the greater is your accountability. So, do I believe there are degrees of reward in heaven? I do. Do I believe there are degrees of torment in hell? I do. But don't misunderstand. Hell will be horribly tragic for every single person. So don't say, oh, well, I'll be in the more air-conditioned wing. Yeah. You're thinking wrongly because the Bible doesn't speak at all in that kind of category.
Yeah, and there, and again, this is, these questions and these answers are very different whether you're talking to believers or unbelievers. Because remember, an unbeliever doesn't want to believe. And so no matter what you tell them, until they have the Holy Spirit, until they are born again, spiritual truths are spiritually discerned. So don't beat yourself up if you're not getting them into heaven because you can't explain the doctrine of hell very well. That's not the problem.
Let's try it all together.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, as it is every week with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. As always, go check out the one specific webpage there at the seminary's website, which will point you to all the different things that you can do, whether you live here in the area or even in North Carolina on the East Coast. It doesn't really matter where you are. You could be out in Hawaii. We're on the air in Honolulu, Hawaii. You don't need to come here. You can do all this online. There's so much you can do, things that you pay for, things that you don't. Really a lot of incredible opportunities. SEBTS.edu/radio lands you there. We've got the links up on the Facebook page today as well. So if you want to jump to the Facebook page, the Steve Noble Show page, if you want to join us in the studio right now, you can do that as well via Facebook Live. But please make sure you check that out. You will be definitely blessed by every minute that you spend with any of the professors, either face-to-face or online. It doesn't matter. You're going to be blessed. So make sure you check that out. Talking about heaven and hell today with Dr. Aiken, we'll wrap up our conversation on hell. We'll change directions and we'll go from downward to upward and start talking about heaven. But I want to talk about, and I'm going to get to a caller here in a second, kind of the like what happens immediately when we die. That was a question that Evan, my production assistant and intern in here, asked that question. As soon as we die right now, does the person, the lost person goes to hell, the saved person goes to heaven? What does that look like right now? How does that change when Jesus comes back? Like, where is heaven? All those types of questions. And then hell is the same type of question. But let me get to this caller real quick. Max calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mac, you're on with Steve and Dr. Aiken. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. I'm a regular caller, but I love your show.
Thanks, bro.
I'm going to try my best to try to frame this. This is a complicated thing. It's troubled me for a little while. I've been a Christian for many years and raised in the church, but I used to think when I was growing up that angels were created for God's will. That was their sole purpose. And what made them different than mankind was they didn't have a choice. And then I realized over time, obviously that's wrong because Satan rebelled and he took a third of the angels with him. So if mankind has a choice and we can choose to go to heaven or hell, whether we accept Jesus Christ or not, why can't angels, if they have a choice, have a chance at redemption? You know, God died for us, you know, and nothing like you just talked about, 45,000 sins with your wife and all this. It's a big thing. God's big enough. His blood's sufficient enough. Why don't the angels get a chance?
Yeah,
that's fallen.
Yeah, really interesting question. Mac, thanks so much for always being so encouraging and being a listener. And I'm going to let Dr. Aiken tackle that. But thanks so much for calling in.
Well, that is a great question. And there's certainly a mysterious element to the question, but let me take a stab at it. First of all, the Bible nowhere says that angels are made in God's image. They are his unique creation, his very divine, wonderful creation, but it nowhere says that they are made in God's image, whereas human beings are. Secondly, though they had moral culpability and responsibility, it may be that because of their extremely near proximity to God, when they fell, it just simply, in essence, sealed the deal for them because of that near proximity and the fact that they were privy to so much more knowledge, yeah. So much more revelation. Thirdly, and again, I can't explain why. I just know that this is what the Bible teaches. Christ came to die for those made in his image. He did not come to die for angels. Yeah. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. Furthermore, and we may get to this later about the whole issue of free will in heaven, angels had a free will. Now, people need to understand, free will doesn't mean you can just do anything you want to anytime, any place. That's a wrong understanding of free will. But they had the right and the ability to choose either for God or against God. And when they chose against God, in God's providence, they were confirmed in that choice so that they now have a bent away from God yeah. and no desire to turn back from it. Whereas good angels have a bent toward God, and they are confirmed to that, and they will never walk away from that. That will be, in some sense, true to us in heaven. When we're in heaven, will we still have free will? Yes. We will be free to choose and act in accordance with a glorified humanity, which means we will always choose freely and joyfully that which is good, right, holy, and just. And so will God, in a sense, confirm us in that state? He will, but it will not rob us of our free will. If anything, we will be the most free that we have ever been in our entire existence.
Unencumbered by sin.
That's a great way of putting it.
And each other's sin, by the way.
Praise
not just
God.
My own. Yeah.
Amen.
What a great point. Let's. And another thing, let me just tack one other thing on that I think it's important to remember. The Bible doesn't speak a whole lot about angels because that's not the point of the Bible.
Correct.
And so the story of salvation, the entire narrative from the front to the back, from creation to the fall to redemption to restoration, is all about God's special creation, which is us. And so perhaps he doesn't want us dwelling on so many questions about angels and even demons, because while it's a reality and it's important, it's not ultimately important. That's the apple of our Father's eyes, us. And so we get a lot more information about that.
In fact, you know, the Bible actually says the angels look on to our salvation with yeah. wonder and amazement. They marvel at it, but they don't fully they don't appreciate yeah. it like we do because they haven't experienced
right,
it.
Right, because they haven't experienced it. Okay, intermediate state, people die right now. And then does this change once Jesus comes back? And where's heaven now and versus heaven then? Because we talk about the city of God. We talk about heaven coming down to earth and all of that kind of stuff. But people die right now. Do they go immediately into heaven, immediately in hell? And where are these places?
People who die in the Lord immediately go to be with the Lord Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, is that their final eternal resting abode? No, because God has not yet created, Revelation 21 and 22, the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So that is still an eschatological hope that will be fully realized, that will be our eternal resting place. But part of the good news of the gospel is to be absent from the body immediately is to be present with the Lord. So wherever the Lord Jesus is, we're going to be with him. Can we call that heaven? I think we can, though it's not the final completed heaven. What happens to those who die without Christ? Well, they are immediately separated from the presence of the Lord. People don't realize it. Even in this fallen world, they still benefit from God's presence.
Yeah, that's right.
His common grace.
Common grace.
His providential watch care over all of his creation. But they immediately go to a place of separation and torment where they will await Revelation 20, 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment, where they will be judged out of the books, plural of works, where it is recorded every action, every inaction, every thought, every emotion that was contrary to God, which the Bible calls sin. And at the end of that, no one will point their finger at God and say, you weren't fair,
right.
You weren't righteous, this isn't just. And then tragically, they are cast forever into what the Bible calls the lake of fire, where they will be tormented in separation from God forever and ever and ever.
Because when heaven ends up on earth, it's very physical.
Yes.
Is it a physical place right now? Or does the Bible not really give us an indication?
It doesn't really give us an answer. I would say right now it's probably most likely spiritual, but in the eschaton, it will be both spiritual and physical, the two beautifully and permanently wedded together.
Got it. All right, let's switch to heaven. So you brought this up, and I just wanted to expand the question a little bit. So if we have free will in heaven, and I sin without temptation. Sometimes I just sin freely, the way I react to other people, and they're not tempting me. But how does that go away? Because if we still have free will, we still have the ability to make a bad choice. So how does that work? You answered that question, but I just wanted to delve into that a little deeper. I've asked a lot of other people and theologians and seminary professors that question, and it's one that we don't deal with very often, but it's fascinating to me anyway.
Well, right now today, those who are lost are free to sin. And they will sin, and they will sin gloriously and willingly. When we are brought to faith in Christ, we receive a new nature. Now we're free to sin, but also free not to sin. And as we allow the Spirit to direct us and guide us, and as we grow in sanctification, that freedom not to sin should hopefully grow and develop and mature. But in the eternal state, being fully glorified, where there is no presence of sin, sin's penalty, sin's power, sin's presence is completely dealt with permanently and forever, we are still free, but now free to act as glorified humans, which means we are free never to sin. And so the key issue in my mind, Steve, when it comes to our free will is, all right, we have free will, but what is your nature? What is the constitution of your nature? And of course, the Bible teaches that apart from Christ, we are totally depraved. And so we will choose sinfully. Even our good acts, as the Bible says, are like filthy rags, because even our best of motives is still tainted by sin. And so we need to understand that that's part of the glory and beauty of our salvation, where sin's penalty has been dealt with in the past, sin's power is being dealt with in the present, and sin's presence will be dealt with in eternity. So justification, sanctification, and ultimately glorification. But as I said a moment ago, it's not that we lose our free will. We are the most free that we have ever been in our entire existence, because now in Christ we are free forever, never again to choose sin.
Yeah, and it reminds me, I mean, I can't remember which Puritan said this, but even our tears of repentance need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Absolutely.
We can't even repent in a way that's completely pure and holy.
No, that's a great way of putting it.
And I think it's amazing that, and the problem is we see through the glass dimly.
Yes.
So the Bible reveals to us everything we need to know, but it does not reveal everything.
Well, that's a great point, because, you know, even John says in 1 John 3, when he's contemplating our eternal destiny, he says, it does not yet appear what we will be.
Yeah.
But we know this, when we see him, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. If I'm going to be like Jesus, Steve, that's enough knowledge about heaven for me.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll take that. Sign me up. Talking to Dr. Danny Akin. Now focusing on heaven. If you have any questions about heaven, please give us a call. We got one more segment to go, and I've got a bunch of questions in front of me, but would love to add yours. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Talking to Dr. Danny Akin about hell and now heaven. We'll be right back. I don't know if you caught that. I was just saying I'm probably a little too snarky to be in a pulpit. My wife and I, Gina and I, used to talk about this because I love to teach. I love preaching. I love talking about the things of God, and obviously not a perfect follower. But I said, what do you think about that, Gina? Could you imagine me, you know, being a preacher? And she said, no. I said, why not? She goes, you're not compassionate enough. You don't really care.
Isn't it wonderful like, to have our wives speak truth into our lives in that kind of a way?
I can't sell that.
No,
your wife is not susceptible to your sales ability.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Pretty amazing.
And that's good for us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Very good for us.
Praise the Lord for that. Talking to Dr. Danny Akin today about heaven and hell. We're on heaven, which is where we're going to finish, and hopefully that's where you're going to finish, whether it's today or next week or in 50 years, whatever the case may be. And you can know that for sure. That's where some people go, I hope so. Let me just give you a little gospel thing here in the American context. Ask people if they're a Christian. 70% of them are going to tell you, yes, I am. Care about them enough to ask the next question. Why do you think you're a Christian? Okay, ask that question. And you're going to find out really fast that most people don't know the gospel. Even though they say they're Christians, they don't know the gospel. And then you need to explain it to them. But talking about heaven right now and the converse of that, we talked about hell. Will that be different? And the question, the answer is yes, it'll be different. There'll be different levels of judgment. Is it the same thing for heaven? Because we read, it's, I think it's Revelation 22, according to what he has done, there'll be rewards. So those who are, the Billy Graham gets the big house and the Steve Noble gets the garage next to the smaller house next to the big house.
Well, I do agree with you that there are degrees of punishment in hell and there are degrees of reward in heaven. But the wonderful Puritan Thomas Watson said, every vessel will be perfectly fitted to be filled with all that it can contain.
Wow.
So in other words, would you maybe living in a small house compared to Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, or you take your pick, will you feel slighted? No. Because you'll have all that you are capable of having. It'd be like eating a glorious meal and there's still more food. I just can't eat another bite. I am full. I am satisfied.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
you
so
will
good.
Be satisfied in heaven with what God gives you, though there are clearly some that will receive and be equipped for more. But will they be arrogant about it? No. Boastful about it? No. They will be completely – in fact, those who receive the most are probably the most humble. And they will be the ones to recognize most clearly this is all undeserved. It's all of grace. But then again, all of us in heaven will realize all that we have is of grace.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, so let's talk about some physicality stuff of heaven. Will heaven be the same? Well, not that. Will we recognize each other? How old will we be? Will we look human? Will we have physical bodies?
We will absolutely recognize one another, and people will know who we are. Will we have physical bodies? Yes, because in God redeeming us, he redeems us body, soul, and spirit. Body, that's why we are not like the ancient Greeks who thought the body was the prison house of the soul. We believe the body is a good thing and that the scriptures promise us that God is going to both resurrect us and to glorify us. So, yes, we will have physical bodies. We will be a psychosomatic unity, which is what God always intended from the very beginning. How old will we be? I don't know. What I do believe, Steve, is
I'll
that—
I'll be 26, exactly.
Well, that's what I've always thought. I'd be 26, and I will have my 29-inch waist back, and yet I'll also have bulging arms and biceps.
And a mullet.
Well, I don't know about that, but I will have hair. I will have hair. But anyway, what I think is we will be in heaven who we are in terms of our fullest potentials and capacities. Do I think that little babies will be crawling around? I seriously doubt it because they left this life before they ever reached what they could have been fully and completely. Do I think someone that dies at 105 will be going around in a wheelchair? Are you? No,
no
goodness,
way.
No, 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 no. The lame will jump, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and there'll be no taint of sin whatsoever. Steve, this is one area where we just have to acknowledge heaven is so wonderful and will be so wonderful in this area. Whatever you think it is, it's going to be better.
Right.
It's going to be better.
And I think that's our challenge is that we can't even begin to comprehend.
No. No, and that's okay.
You said
it earlier. We know enough to let us know just how wonderful and glorious heaven is going to be. And, of course, again, as long as I'm with Jesus, it's going to be heaven. But he's going to do more than just give me himself. He's going to give me all the riches that flow from him as a joint heir. Ron Gerlach again today talked about the fact that Mike Trout, this great baseball player for the Angels, signed a $400 million contract. That's pretty impressive, almost half a million dollars to hit a ball with a stick,
That's
and they're paying him that.
Right.
He then began to draw an analogy of all that God owns and has, and he says, in all of that, he is going to give to us in his son.
Yeah, crazy.
So we're going to be wonderfully blessed beyond anything we could ever think
of. Yeah, who wants
to
live a peasant's life with $400 million over the course of 15
years? In heaven, you'd be a pauper.
Oh, yeah, you'd be a pauper. So what about painful memories and sinful memories? Is there a memory wipe, or how do we deal with our past when we're in heaven?
Wow, that is a really tough question because the classic example is, all right, my mom and my dad were not believers. So when I'm in heaven, will I be tormented by the thought of their suffering in hell? Well, of course, the answer is no. You will not be tormented by the thought of their suffering. Now, why is it that you won't be tormented? Some, and I lean in this direction, believe in what you alluded to a moment ago as sort of a memory wipe, and that God simply removes from our knowledge and from our awareness anything that would be tragic and harmful and painful. Other theologians think that we, in that regard, will be like God, in that we will see them and know where they are, but we will do so with a perfect righteousness and holiness that allows us to comprehend it, and yet to do so without agony or suffering or pain. I can see how some
people... Well, doesn't God grieve?
See, I think he does. And yet he has the ability to grieve without it tearing him asunder.
Right, exactly.
He has an ability to perfectly grieve, whereas exactly. we don't. Now, maybe we'll have the ability to do it then, but I still tend to think a better understanding is we simply will not have any memory of past sin, and we will not have any recognition or awareness of people suffering that we loved and that we deeply cared for. I just don't think that that will be the case.
Yeah. And then what are we going to do? I mean, you know, we see all these silly pictures, and we each get a cloud, and Danny gets a harp, and I get a harp. And
No.
Sing, Jesus loves me. This I know for, you know, 40 billion years.
We're going to work.
Which sounds like a raw deal.
We're going to work and serve. We're going to work and serve. We're going to be on a new earth, and so we're going to be able to explore, and we're going to be able to build, and we're going to be able to create. The new heaven, the new earth talks about cities.
Because in the garden, we were created to work.
Yes.
To be creative.
And we're going to be
in all these raw materials.
We're going to be in a heavenly garden in Revelation 21 and 22. We left. I love to say when I teach theology, Steve, heaven is Eden regained and more. Mm. Eden regained and more. So everything we lost in the fall, we get back. And even more. And yes, we were created to explore, to create, to work, to enjoy. And so I've even heard John Piper say, why would we not expect there to be games in heaven where we are participating joyfully and gladly?
Yeah.
And I think he's exactly right. So all the things that we enjoy in this life will be enjoyed there exponentially. And so we shouldn't think, well, no, heaven is never going to be a place where you get to hit a ball or shoot a basket or run a race. No. I anticipate all of that will be there and more because, again, it is a restoration of all that we lost when we fell and were banished from the garden.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say there will be no Eastern Carolina barbecue.
Oh,
and
there's no doubt about
and
that.
And it'll be all Midwestern barbecue,
absolutely.
Sweet, tangy, thick sauce.
Memphis or Kansas City?
Yes.
Memphis or
Kansas
City?
Eastern Carolina, it's kind of like cats.
Look.
There won't be any cats in heaven.
You
I
know,
think Danny Aiken told me that.
I did tell you that one time. And I'm
well, cats, if they die in glory, they become dogs.
Thank you. And I'm still getting hit for that. So I know the cat lovers out there right now are probably driving off the road, throwing something in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And we're playing, sort of.
Unfortunately, I have to go home and spend my evening with a cat lover, so I'll blame you.
Do you actually have a cat?
We have two.
Oh my goodness,
Lewis and Clark. You can pray.
Lewis and Clark. I will.
All right. So what we've talked about this before. No marriage in heaven. I think for a lot of us, we're kind of like, that's a bummer.
It is. Except I have to remind myself that as wonderful as marriage is down here, it'll be better there. Now, what I've already put in is a request for Charlotte Aiken to be my roommate. And I don't find anything in the Bible that says that in our dwelling there, we can't have a roommate. So I've asked God to let her be my roommate. And here's the thing. As wonderful and blessed as the joys of sex are, whatever communion and intimacy we have in heaven.
Hey, easy with the language,
is
here, Danny.
Far going to transcend what we have now and what we get to enjoy.
Well, when you're fully engulfed in the light of his glory. Just like we talk about today, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Once we're there, and I did have that question, will we see God? I think where marriage is involved in the here and the now, and it's a picture of the perfect unity between God and his bride, where that will become true, and everything else just kind of falls away. And again, we're thinking in fallen, human, materialistic ways.
Yes.
And a lot of that's just gone. When we deal with heaven.
Well, you know, there will be a marriage of sorts in heaven, and we as his bride will be married to Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, what a glorious, wonderful marriage that will be. And so there'll be no grief or no sadness over what then will look like such pale, inferior realities in this life.
So I think it's fun, and I think it's healthy to have a heavenly imagination.
Absolutely.
Right now, to the best of humans' ability, we think there's about 70 sextillion stars in the universe. With most of those stars, you get planets, and right now the only person that really gets to handle all that is God himself.
Yep.
And I'm thinking one day he opens up the entire playground to all of his kids, and that would be pretty awesome.
It's going to be incredible.
Danny, always great to have you.
Thanks,
thank you,
Steve.
So much.
Thank
such
you.
An important topic. You're welcome. Another great Theology Thursday with our good friend, Dr. Danny Akin from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon. Hopefully that will be tomorrow. And like my dad always said, who I will see in heaven one day soon, he always said, ever forward. So don't forget that.